live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, there are renewed calls for the government to open the purpose-built maternity theatre at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's been revealed that a total of 13 bridges in Donegal have been identified as high priority for repair work. A 31-year-old man from Glenhollagh to Cork will be sentenced in April after pleading guilty in connection with an arson attack that caused more than €500,000 of damage in Letterkenny town centre. And an emergency meeting is to be held tomorrow over what's been described as a major rat infestation in Derry. Those stories to follow on Full Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport at about 5:15 with Kenny Harkin. But first to news, the families of four soldiers killed in the 1982 IRA Hyde Park bombings have been granted legal aid to take a civil case against one of the alleged bombers. 66-year-old John Downey, with an address in Donegal, has denied murdering the soldiers. He was arrested in London in May 2013 and sent for trial, but the trial collapsed in February 2014 when it emerged he had been given a written guarantee that he would not be prosecuted. Donald Kavanagh has more.
4 years ago, the case against John Downey was dropped when a judge ruled an official assurance meant he could not face trial. He had a so-called on-the-run letter telling him he was no longer a wanted man. The letter, which he received in 2007, assured him he wouldn't face arrest and prosecution for IRA crimes. He was one of 187 people to receive such letters as part of the peace process. The then Prime Minister David Cameron described the letter as a dreadful mistake. The Hyde Park attack on the 20th of July 1982 killed Squadron Quartermaster Corporal Roy Bright, Lieutenant Anthony Daly, Trooper Simon Tipper and Lance Corporal Geoffrey Young. Today, The Sun reported the legal aid agency had confirmed it was providing funding to the families of the victims who are taking the civil case against Mr. Downey. The BBC says the case could begin by the end of the year.
There are renewed calls for the government to open the purpose-built maternity theatre at Letterkenny University Hospital. The theatre was built 18 years ago and has been lying idle since its construction. Hospital management claim the absence of resources has led to the facility remaining unused. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says the hospital has four inpatient theatres, yet only three are in use, as one must remain vacant in the case of an emergency cesarean, while the purpose-built maternity theatre remains unopened due to a lack of government funding. Deputy Doherty says the government must finance and resource the opening of this facility.
I think this is an absolute scandal when we look at the amount of money that was invested in bespoke state-of-the-art maternity theatre, which is the least that are the women of Donegal deserve, that they would have this theatre beside the new maternity wing that was opened 18 years ago. And the fact that that's been lying empty over those 18 years is simply unjustifiable. Not only is it a disservice to pregnant women in the county, but also what it's done is it's actually now meant that one of our inpatient theatres is now out of use for inpatient purposes, because it has to be kept free at all times in case of an emergency cesarean section. So this is a campaign that myself and Paddy McLaughlin announced last year as part of our document in terms of the challenges of Letterkenny University Hospital. It's one of the issues that we want to see delivery on, and I'm renewing my call this week for the government to act on this.
And the management at the hospital said that it wasn't open because it wasn't resourced. So as you say, the hospital does need more funding, as we have heard continually.
This is a case of just, you know, staffing and resourcing. This was announced 18 years ago to great fanfare, and 18 years later we're still waiting for this theatre to be commissioned, to be opened, to be used for the people of Donegal. And at the same time, year on year, our waiting lists are going longer, our consultants are telling us that they can't get theatre time, and the five theatres that are in Letterkenny University Hospital, only three of them are used regularly because one hasn't been commissioned for the last 18 years.
The government will oppose attempts to start a review process into bids for the National Broadband Plan. Air pulled out of the process last week, and now Fianna Fáil is calling for the whole process to be examined. But Minister Dennis Naughton says that would only delay the rollout of broadband to rural areas. The minister also says the only bidder left in the process is dedicated to it.
the bidder is determined to win this contract and to deliver it in a value for money manner, but deliver it as quickly as possible to every single home and business throughout rural Ireland. And I'm as determined as the team is within the department, as the external advisors are, as the consortium is, to ensure that every single home and business in Ireland gets access to high-speed broadband.
It's been revealed that a total of 13 bridges in Donegal have been identified as high priority for repair work. Figures from the Department of Transport also show that 9 bridges have been classed as medium priority, while a further 26 have been deemed as low. All of the bridges in question are located in Inishowen. The data was collected during an inspection of infrastructure on the peninsula after August's floods. Councillor Albert Doherty says while some work is currently underway to address some of the issues, more funding will be required.
There was close to 50 bridges that have been damaged, from some severely, some not so severely, and some less severely. So there's a full council programme and there's a full investment programme required by Donegal County Council to carry out much needed bridge repair in the county, and in particular in Inishowen.
And while the council say they are satisfied with the funding they are receiving from government, do you feel that more should be given to address these infrastructure issues?
I too am content, as engineers tell me, that the repair budget book is still open by the present government and the present Department of Transport for repair. However, I think it's good to put on notice that extra money will be required to bring us back to August 22nd stage. And likewise, some of these bridges had to be in a state of ill repair. So we need an extra financial investment by government so that all this work can be carried out as soon as is possible.
A 31-year-old man from Glenholla, Gortahorgue, will be sentenced in April after pleading guilty in connection with an arson attack that caused more than €500,000 of damage to an apartment block, several cars and shops in Letterkenny town centre. At Letterkenny Circuit Court today, Paul McGinley admitted 2 charges of arson and also of reckless endangerment. RTE is reporting the court was told petrol was poured on 2 cars in an underground car park at Rosemount Lane in Letterkenny on the 29th of September 2016. Donegal County Council is progressing plans for social housing in a number of towns across Donegal in 2018. The plans include the signing of contracts to purchase 21 housing units in Stranorlar, while 19 projects in Inishowen are at construction stage to be completed this year. Under the house acquisition programme, it's envisaged that a further 40 properties will be obtained for social housing in the county this year. Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District Councillor Jack Murray says it's a step in the right direction.
It's certainly a welcome development. It's progress from the years in which we didn't acquire any housing units whatsoever. It is positive to that extent, but there is a massive, massive housing shortage in County Donegal. There's thousands of people on the waiting list. In my own area in Inishowen, we really saw just how bad it was when the floods hit, and we had a number of families displaced, and we just couldn't find any rental properties at all. It became extremely difficult to find just houses for these people to rent. So there's a huge housing shortage, both social housing and private rented. So I do think it's a welcome development. It's a step in the right direction, but we've a long way to go just yet.
So you're saying that the yearly predictions in terms of social housing for the local authority may not go far enough to address the severe shortage?
Certainly not. There's 19 houses being constructed in the Shawn, as I say, that's welcome, but there's hundreds of families still waiting for houses. So as I do say, there's a step in the right direction, but it's still just the tip of the iceberg. We've a long way to go just yet.
There's no evidence that homicides weren't properly investigated by the Gardaí, according to the Justice Minister. However, Charlie Flanagan says he's asked Garda management for more assurances on the issue and will meet them tomorrow. It was reported last week that 2 Garda whistleblowers claimed to have evidence that some murders and unlawful killings were not properly investigated. Minister Charlie Flanagan says he has no evidence that that is true.
I'm extremely concerned about reports that unlawful deaths have not been properly investigated. Any substantiated allegations of this kind would be most serious and a cause of grave public concern. I've not received any protected disclosures or allegations that unlawful killings have not been investigated, and Garda management are adamant that all unlawful killings are investigated. I've seen no evidence to the contrary.
An emergency meeting is to be held tomorrow over what's been described as a major rat infestation in Derry. According to residents, the infestation centres in the Bogside area of the city, with sightings of rodents reported in people's homes, gardens and laneways. Measures had been taken in the past to address the problem. However, the infestation is said to have escalated in recent months. Local councillor Patricia Lowe believes that a multi-agency approach is needed.
Over the past few years, there have been ongoing issues with rodent infestation in different parts of the Bogside. There seem to be an abnormal amount of reports of this nature in a confined space. Measures have been taken out by different agencies, by NI Water, by the Housing Executive, by Housing Associations, to try and address these issues. However, they do seem to be reoccurring, and it is a nightmare for the residents.
And in terms of those residents, have the rats entered people's homes there?
Yes, they actually have entered their homes. A lot of instances, they are in the cavity walls or in the attic, but in some cases people would have actually seen them in their home. I'm holding a meeting tomorrow of all the statutory agencies to come up with a plan to have a survey of the whole area to see just what is going on.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale, now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's now 13 minutes past five, time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with local soccer, and Letterkenny Rovers have been handed a home draw in the quarter-final of the FAI New Balance Intermediate Cup. Rovers have been drawn at home to Home Farm, who defeated Coghill Celtic at the weekend 1-0. Rovers are the only four Lanterns Ulster Senior League side left in the last eight, and were first out of the hat in today's draw. The tie is expected to be played on Sunday, the 25th of February. Elsewhere, Michael O'Connor's confirmed on Twitter today that he's joining Finn Harps on loan from Shamrock Rovers until the summer. He'll join his brother Kieran in the Harps front line. He said on Twitter today he was looking forward to helping Finn Harps to get back to the Premier Division. Cross Channel Manchester United fans have gathered at Old Trafford to mark the 60th anniversary of the Munich air disaster. Eight United stars were among the 23 people who died on this day in 1958 when their plane crashed as it took off in the snow. The team had just played a European Cup tie against Red Star Belgrade. Elsewhere, Ronald Koeman has been confirmed as the new Netherlands head coach. The former Everton Southampton manager has signed a new deal that will take him up to the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Koeman succeeds Dick Advocaat, who failed to qualify the Dutch for this summer's World Cup. And Chelsea boss Antonio Conte has reportedly handed his squad an extra 2 days off following last night's thrashing at Watford. The 4-1 defeat came just over a week after the reigning champions lost 3-0 at home to Bournemouth. Conte is concerned fatigue is playing a role in his side's poor form, but insists he's not worried about his own job security. And Leeds have appointed Paul Heckingbottom as their new boss. He joins from Championship rivals Barnsley on an 18-month contract. Thomas Christensen was sacked as head coach at the weekend following a run of 7 matches without a win in all competitions. On the pitch, League One side Rochdale are looking to make the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time in 15 years tonight. They take on Millwall at Spotland, with the winners to face either Tottenham or Newport. Elsewhere tonight, Huddersfield, they'll look to set aside their poor league form when they go to Championship side Birmingham. Manchester United await the winners of that tie, while a trip to Sheffield Wednesday awaits the winners of tonight's replay of Notts County and Premier League Swansea. In the Irish League Premier Division tonight, there's 3 games down for decision. Glentoran, they host Ballinamallard. Carrick Rangers play Crusaders, and Warren Point play Linfield. All those games kick off at 7:45. In Gaelic games, UUJ have become the first side through to this year's Sigerson Cup semi-finals with some ease at that. They brushed aside UL on a scoreline of 4-6 to 11 points at Jordanstown this afternoon. Later, IT Tralee, they face DIT, throw-in at Austin Stack Park is at 6:30. In Gaelic games, Ireland had their preparations for the visit of Italy slightly altered due to the weather today. The Carton House pitch was frozen this morning, delaying today's training session. Second row Devon Toner says this week's preparation isn't 100% geared towards the Azzurri.
I wouldn't say specifically an Italy week, to be honest. It's just another week to get them stuff, to get that stuff right. It doesn't really matter who our opposition is. We know that we weren't right in a couple of areas, and we have to try and rectify it this week. So I wouldn't kind of look at the opposition at all. The main thing that we're focusing on this week is ourselves and try and rectify them. That obviously the poor stuff that we did.
And George North, he'll be on the bench for Wales when they take on England at Twickenham in the Six Nations on Saturday. The wings been judged fit enough to come in as the only change to the squad that thrashed Scotland 34-7 last weekend. It'll be the same starting 15 for their opener in Cardiff. Head coach Warren Gatland said Liam Williams was close to a return from injury but wasn't risked. Elsewhere, Connacht, they'll welcome a number of players back from injury for Friday's Pro 14 meeting with the Ospreys. Finlay Beelam, Craig Ronaldson, Sean O'Brien, Andrew Brown and Steve Crosby are among those available to Kieran Keane again. And Craig Gilroy, he's back in contention for Ulster on Friday's meeting with Southern Kings in the Pro 14. The winger has recovered from a fractured cheekbone, but Andrew Trimble and Peter Nelson have joined the province's lengthy injury list. And badminton three-time Olympian Scott Evans has announced his retirement. The Dubliner broke new ground in Beijing in 2008, becoming the first Irishman to represent Ireland in badminton at the Olympic Games. Evans won his first Olympic match in Rio 2 years ago, before eventually placing ninth overall. In cycling, Nicholas Roach finished comfortably within the peloton in today's first stage of the Tour of Dubai. The BMC rider is 10 seconds down on stage winner Dylan Groenewegen. It wasn't such a good day for Aqua Blue's homegrown contingent, with Connor Dunn finishing 3 minutes 26 seconds down on the leader's blue jersey. Finally, for this evening in Winter Olympics, 900 military personnel have been deployed in Pyongyang after the security force for the Games suffered an outbreak of norovirus. The 32 workers have been quarantined, with 1,200 employed to work as security. They've been kept in their rooms while they await testing. The Games are due to open this Friday. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the news at 8 and 8:30 tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. It's been confirmed that there will be no ban on the tricolour at the St Patrick's Day parade in Strabane this year. It follows an announcement made by Derry City and Strabane District Council that all flags and emblems were banned from the official parade in order to make the celebrations cross-community and family-friendly. However, last night, council officials wrote back on that decision, and Councillor Karina Carlin is glad that the issue has been resolved.
Because it's celebrated throughout the world, and because it would be unthinkable that in Strabane and Derry that we wouldn't be able to display the national flag as part of St Patrick's Day celebrations, and for example, emblems such as the shamrock, it is entirely unthinkable that that would be the case. And it was an anomaly that really did need to be tidied up.
It's emerged that nearly 40% of people over the age of 50 in Donegal have a long-term health condition, many of which cause some degree of impairment and require people to make changes in their lives. With this in mind, the HSE has launched a special website outlining supports and resources in Donegal, as well as offering practical advice for self-management of conditions. The website, which is being formally launched on Thursday, also offers help for families, friends and carers. Maeve McEwen is the HSE Self-Management Support Coordinator in Donegal. She says it's possible the initiative could help cut waiting lists at clinics or surgeries, but that's not the prime consideration.
The skills are taught to do tasks such as taking their own blood pressure, taking their blood sugars if necessary. There is a possibility that this initiative may impact on waiting lists and waiting times in surgeries and hospitals. But the main thrust of this initiative is to help people to self-manage. If that has a knock-on effect, which we possibly hope it will, well and good.
And for weather now, cold this evening and overnight with clear spells. Scattered wintry showers will become confined to the north and west coast overnight, with temperatures between 0 and minus 4 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the families of four soldiers killed in the 1982 IRA Hyde Park bombings have been granted legal aid to take a civil case against one of the alleged bombers. 66-year-old John Downey, with an address in Donegal, has denied murdering the soldiers. There are renewed calls for the government to open the purpose-built maternity theatre at Letterkenny University Hospital. The theatre was built 18 years ago and has been lying idle since its construction. Hospital management claim the absence of resources has led to the facility remaining unused. It's been revealed that a total of 13 bridges in Donegal have been identified as high priority for repair work. Figures from the Department of Transport also show that 9 bridges have been classed as medium priority, while a further 26 have been deemed as low. And it's been confirmed that there will be no ban on the tricolour at the St Patrick's Day parade in Strabane this year. It follows an announcement made by Derry City and Strabane District Council that all flags and emblems were banned from the official parade in order to make the celebrations cross-community and family-friendly. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 6th of February. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Michael Sweeney, Ard Crone House, Falkara. His remains will arrive at St Finian's Church, Falkara, for 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, reposing overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the nearby cemetery. The house is strictly private, please. The death has occurred of Prunchius Carr, Bridgend, Kilcar. Removal from Harbour Lights Nursing Home Killybegs at 5:30 this evening, arriving at his residence at 6 o'clock. Removal from there on Friday at 11:30 for funeral mass in St. Carthus Church, Kilcar, at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. House private, please, nightly from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred in Birmingham, England, of Joe Duffy, formerly of Clonmartin, Leenan, Uris, Clonmany. His remains will arrive at St. Michael's Church, Uris, on tomorrow afternoon at approximately 2 o'clock, reposing overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Inquiries to McFeely Funeral Directors, Clonmany. The death has occurred of Carmel Sweeney, Gortha Hork, formerly of Ballyconnell, Falkara. Her remains are reposing at Christ the King Church, Gortha Hork, with viewing until Rosary at 7 o'clock this evening. Rosary again tomorrow evening at 7:30. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 at Christ the King Church, Gortha Hork, with burial afterwards in St Finian's Cemetery, Falkara. No flowers, please. Inquiries to Gallagher Funeral Directors. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Bobby Stewart, Moira, Falkara, formerly of Flatroof, Fahar, Dunfanaghy. His remains will repose at his late residence in Moira until 10 o'clock this evening, and again from 12 noon to 8 o'clock tomorrow. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Ballymore Cemetery. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to be donated to a charity to be advised, care of any family member, or Harkin Funeral Directors, Creasla. The death has taken place at St Eunan's Nursing Home, Remilton Road, Letterkenny, of Ellen Caffrey, Nae McBrearty, Gord Nagart, Ardra, and formerly of Kilcar. Her remains are reposing at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, with rosary this evening at 8 o'clock, followed by removal to her residence in Gord Nagart at 8:30. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:15 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the St Eunan's Nursing Home, care of any family member. The death has taken place at Brindley Manor Nursing Home, Convoy, of Miss Rose O'Donnell, formerly of Letterkenny Road, Convoy. Her remains are reposing at St Mary's Church, Convoy. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Drumkeen Cemetery. The death has taken place at Brentwood Manor Nursing Home, Convoy, of Mrs Margaret Arthur, Trentemuckla, St Johnson. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Pearl Arthur's residence at Trentaboy, Drumkeen. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock for service in St Eunan's Cathedral, Raphoe, at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the family plot at Taboyne Parish Churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Association Donegal branch, care of Ernie Gibson, funeral director, Convoy. The death has taken place of Lizzie Glass, 18 Eden Road, Park, County Derry. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St Mary's Church, Alton Ewer, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Anne McHugh, née Tinney, 5 Brook Park, Castledurg, formerly of Fountain Terrace, Strabane. Anne's remains are reposing at No. 8 Fountain Terrace, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. Interment afterwards in St Patrick's Churchyard, Castledurg. The death has occurred at Liverd Hospital of James Freel Sr., Tully Vinnie Rafoe, formerly of Bohurl Mountain Top, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at Tully Vinnie. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Union's Church, Rafoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in Remelton in St Mary's Church Cemetery. Family Flowers Only Please, donations in lieu of desire to Liverd Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield Rafoe, or any family member. Family Time Please from 10 o'clock tonight. And the death has taken place at Dunloe District Hospital of Sheila Ward, Caravan Road, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at her home with rosary at 9. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Time Please from 11 o'clock tonight. House private before the funeral tomorrow morning. Family Flowers Only Please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Dunloe Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Sean Madlin Funeral Directors, Dunloe.